Hello and welcome to another edition of the Arb Life podcast. Today, Dr. Amanda Carpenter joins us from Core Ergonomic Solutions as we talk about some issues that climbers and industrial athletes may face in the slower time in the off season and how we can stay durable through that period. Hello, Dr. Carpenter. It's TC.
Hello. Let me just get my headset on.
Oh, sure. Take your time. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Okay, I'm all set.
Oh, wonderful. So, welcome again, Dr. Amanda Carpenter from Core Ergonomic Solutions. Dr. Carpenter is an industry voice on industrial athletes, climbers and arborists in particular. She is associated with North American Training Solutions and just a wonderful, wonderful research resource for the industrial athlete. So again, thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful for you joining us, so grateful for your time. And the first question I have for you, Dr. Carpenter, is in the slow season in the Northeast with the winter upon us, it's a little bit of a slower time. What can climbers and industrial athletes do to stay durable during the off season?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure, and it's so wonderful that you're giving this information out to the industrial athletes and the climbers. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, of course. It's great. So that's a great question. Really, what I always say is it really surprises everybody because first and foremost, during the off season, especially in the Northeast, we should be undergoing more rest and more sleep. So our bodies are really designed to function based on conditions of light. So during the winter, when there is less natural light, we should actually be sleeping and resting more. If you think of our ancestors and the cavemen, or if we compare ourselves to, animals, for example, non-nocturnal animals, of course, there's more downtime. So during the summer is when they're building, active, putting on weight, and then during the winter time is a time for kind of rest, relaxation, rejuvenation. So first and foremost, sleeping more in the wintertime is super, super important. A lot of seasonal affective disorder issues are from people not honoring that and not sleeping as much, and we're fighting, basic human biology. So that's the first most important thing is sleep. Next, I would actually say yoga. I absolutely love yoga for its meditation relaxation properties, but then also the balance and stability. So a lot of people say, what stretches can I do in order to optimize my performance and reduce injuries? And it's not about flexibility. It's actually about postural alignment and stability. So if we have flexibility without having stability, we're actually more susceptible to an injury. So I love yoga and meditation. There's lots of different forms of yoga, anywhere from working on more of a mobility, stretching, lymphatic drainage, up to higher heat stability strengthening sort of thing. So yoga is a great downtime exercise and activity. And lastly, strengthening of what we need to have stability on the job, but we're not developing stability by doing the things that industrial athletes do, particularly climbers. So during the off season would be the time to strengthen the rotator cuff, which is necessary for stability of the shoulder. And needed for the work that arborists do, but it doesn't get stronger on the job. And the other area that we need for stability are the hip stabilizers, and in particular, those would be the hip abductors and extensors. So and those are things that you can research, people can research on their own, how to strengthen the rotator cuff properly, and also how to strengthen the hip abductors and extensors properly, because doing strengthening under the right conditions is really important.
Wow.
So does that answer your question?
Oh my God. Yeah, that was wonderful. And I think that it really creates a nice segue into the next question I had was, I feel like everyone has an individual body type, an individual program, sort of a unique workload. And I think that a lot of industrial athletes, a lot of climbers out there experience or sometimes experience recurring acute injuries. And you know what I mean? These, and it may be a shoulder, it may be a knee, and things like that. And so, and I guess it goes into the cross training mentality and sort of staying fit in the off season. But what are some specific things that climbers can do to deal with those acute injuries, and how do they know when personally they can't really do anything else and they maybe need to get a professional therapist involved?
Yeah, so it's another great question. So really during the off season, that downtime for rest, that's when a lot of these microtraumatic overuse injuries can heal. So number one, we have to let them heal appropriately, which first and foremost requires rest. And then number two, we have to strengthen the muscles that are weak and fix the biomechanics, if you will, in order to prevent that injury from coming back. So the magic number is if somebody has reoccurring pain, so it's the same type of pain, like every time I do, every time I go outside and shovel snow, my shoulder bothers me. And it gets better, but then I go shovel again and it bothers me again. So there are some faulty biomechanics in there. So that would be a great time to have it looked at, because the body will learn to compensate. The body is really good at compensating, and we don't want to feel pain, so we'll start to move differently to eliminate the pain. So if with certain activities we have reoccurring pain, that's a reason to seek professional help. And then also continuous pain for longer than 7 to 10 days. So, you know, say I go out and do some shoveling and my shoulder bothers me, and 7 to 10 days later it's still bothering me. Well, I might have done some new damage, or I might have, you know, finished off, if you will, a pre-existing injury. So that magic number, 7 to 10 days of continuous pain, time to seek professional help, or any reoccurring pain with different injuries.
Wow, that was great. No, that was a question that, you know, I see a lot of people ask quite frequently. And, you know, I think that establishing a good program in the off season, and then, you know, paying close attention to how we're treating our bodies and how we're caring for them really does go a long way. And the third question I had, which is sort of tied into the other two, is can you maybe talk about some, not so much dietary supplements, but some main points that industrial athletes can take away and apply to their diet, their daily eating habits that can translate directly into the performance that we have in the field?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's another absolutely great question. You know, diet impacts so many things. We can either increase inflammation through dietary habits, you know, particularly poor dietary habits, or we can reduce inflammation. So we shouldn't have to take supplements. We shouldn't have to take anti-inflammatories to reduce inflammation. We should actually be able to do it through our diet. So first, I think it's really important to understand how the body utilizes food as energy, because this is really misunderstood out there. So the body uses carbohydrates and fats as an energy source. So that's the fuel in our tank. So carbohydrates and fats are going to give us energy to be active, while proteins are used for tissue repair, for recovery and healing. So when somebody says, you know, before I, you know, go out on the job or before I go to the gym, I need a protein snack, well, that protein's not doing anything for you at that point in time. The body during exercise or during activity starts to break down, and during the rest period is when the body then uses that protein in order to heal the tissues, to make them stronger. So fats and carbohydrates, again, are used as energy, and protein is used for tissue repair. So that's super important to understand. So, you know, this is a question I get all the time, like, what is the ideal diet? And ultimately, it's important to understand that the region that we're living in affects our diet. So what really resonates with me with all of the research that I've done behind this is if we eat like our ancestors that lived in that area, you know, that preceded us, eat. So in the winter time, what would they have had access to? They would have had access to, you know, proteins, particularly animal proteins, and starchy vegetables.
So they wouldn't have had access to, you know, green leafy vegetables. They wouldn't have had access to fruits. They wouldn't have had access to, you know, like oranges that come out this time of year. Clementines is the word that I was searching for. For clementines, everybody's eating clementines. And in the Northeast, based on the daylight hours, based on the rays of the sun, our body needs actually the sun to tell us how to set our internal metabolism. So really, based on all my research, what resonates with me is in the summertime, we should be eating what's seasonable. So that would be, you know, fruits, greens, everything in the summertime. There's longer hours of daylight during that summertime, so we should be eating more. In the wintertime, we go into shorter daylight hours, eating a little bit less. So if we're eating within those daylight hours, and then eating what our ancestors would have had access to that lived in that region. So the body uses in the wintertime is better at using fat as an energy source based on the light and based on what would be available regionally. And in the summertime, it's better at using carbohydrates as an energy source. Okay. And we're not talking any sort of weight loss or anything like that. We're just talking a, you know, industrial athlete, what is the body, the ideal fuel. So in the summertime, the ideal fuel is going to be carbohydrates. In the wintertime, the ideal fuel is going to be more fats. And we're talking healthy fats. We're talking anti-inflammatory fats, avocados, coconut oil, nuts, that sort of thing. Not saturated fats, not greasy, fatty, fried food and that sort of thing. That's not good for us on, you know, winter, summer, whatever. So, so that's one aspect of diet. And then the other aspect of diet is really understanding on a genetic level, you know, what does my body react to? Right. And your throat is a really good barometer of, am I eating something that's inflammatory? So, for example, if you listen to somebody after they eat dairy, dairy is inflammatory to a lot of people. So they'll have a kind of phlegm cough. So if I'm talking to somebody after they have eaten and I hear that, I think to myself, they just ate something. You know, what did they just eat that's inflammatory to their diet? Because you'll hear that. Now, what's difficult is, okay, I just ate three different things, and what was it that caused the inflammation? So keeping track of, okay, every time I have, you know, whatever it might be, you know, for me, it might be peanuts. Every time I have peanuts, I get phlegm in my throat. Well, that's driving inflammation further down in my GI tract, which is ultimately driving inflammation further in my body. So really, the ideal diet is unique to everybody based on our genetics, but listen to what inflames you. When you eat something, it doesn't make you feel so good. You're groggy afterwards. You're tired. It's kind of like bad fuel. It's not good for you. And by eating more of an anti-inflammatory diet, which an anti-inflammatory diet is unique to every individual, that can help reduce inflammation in the system and optimize that that healing. And if we reduce the inflammation in the system, we're also going to optimize performance. If we're burning a really good, clean fuel, then our performance is going to be good.
That's, no, that's such wonderful information. And really touched on a lot of points that that tied together really well, especially for this time of season when you know, in some parts of the country we do have a little bit of a slower time, and we need to be thinking about when work is going to pick up again, and having our bodies fully prepared, because I think at the end of the day, for the industrial athlete, that health and that, that physical fitness is one of, is really one of the greatest tools that we have. And it really comes full circle, the whole year around. But such wonderful information, Dr. Carpenter. I am so grateful that you joined us today, and I really do hope that in the future, maybe in the busy season, I can reach out to you again, and you can keep us informed on all of your awesome research. And it really does so much for the industry, and I know arborists everywhere are very grateful for it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I do have coming out very soon within the next couple months, we'll have some online education and programs. I realize that, you know, not everybody can see you, although we speak at a lot of chapter events and ISA and TCIA, a lot of people aren't able to see the talks that I do based on the research that we've done. So I'm coming out with an online education program that should be out within the next couple months. So if people are interested in that, they can go to industrialathletevitality.com. and sign up for our newsletter, or like us on Facebook. We'll also make some announcements on Facebook, and our Facebook page is Core Ergonomic Solutions.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. We'll definitely get the word out spread the word, share this podcast, and keep everybody in the loop on such an incredible resource. And I do, again, thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you so much again for joining us at the Arb Life.
Yes, of course. Thank you for all you do. You know, arborists really are important for the health of this planet and the health of humans, too. Trees are really important to our overall health. So thank you for all you do to keep these industrial athletes up to par on everything that's going on. Thank you again. You take care.
Thank you, Dr. Carpenter. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.